Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Tuesday, March 27th. Today, we're going to catch up with our good friend George Rodriguez down in San Antonio. And I've got one. I've given George a homework assignment for our show today. And he's got to find out where Beto is. Has anybody seen Beto? You know, the guy who's supposed to be running against Ted Cruz. In all seriousness, has anybody seen this guy? So we'll be talking about that in just a couple of minutes. We're also looking for the leader of North Korea. I understand he's in China, and that's okay. That's okay. I mean, I understand why he went to China. But I wouldn't be surprised if the Chinese tell him that it's time for him to, you know, get a little disguise and maybe open up a Korean restaurant in Texas or somewhere in the United States. Because I don't know. I kind of get the feeling the Chinese are not real happy with the young man from North Korea. So we're going to talk about all of these things. We're also going to touch on what is happening with Facebook. Facebook right now is apparently the head of the CEO of Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, apparently is going to be before Congress. And, you know, this is going to get very interesting because he's going to get a lot of questions about the allegations of the in 2016. But I think he's also going to get some questions about 2012. So we'll see how all of that works out. Let me say hello from the rain here in Dallas, Texas. We're trying to get you on, George. Wait one second. We're trying to get you on. Oh, there you are, George. We say hello from the rain. How's everything down in San Antonio, George?
We're getting ready to get some rain here. There's some thunderstorms heading in our direction. So
They're here now. So they're going down I-35.
Yeah. Should happen sometime today.
Well, we've had pretty much rain all morning. And it's funny. It started to rain just as I had picked up the newspaper. So I had good timing there today when I went out. Well, we're going to talk about these marches, George. I wrote a post over at American Thinker asking the question, why the attacks on Senator Rubio? And I've got a couple of theories. But before we get there, you know, I gave you a homework assignment, my good friend. Where is Beto? Can you tell me where Beto is?
Well, apparently 21 hours ago, that's the best I can. 21 hours ago, he was in Houston at Texas Southern University. And while he was there, apparently he was trolled by some young lady from Austin who was carrying a badge with her that said, Texas can do better than Ted Cruz. And the senator didn't see it, and he posed in a photo with her. And the photo has gone viral, apparently, at least in some circles. And but apparently she is a big supporter of Beto O'Rourke, and apparently went back over to the event that Beto was having in Houston. So that's the best I can tell you right now. Was that he was
all right? So we found him though.
Texas.
We found him.
Yes, he was at Texas Southern University in Houston 21 hours ago. Where he is at this point, I'm not sure.
All right. Well, at least we know he's going to get one vote in November. He's got one very passionate supporter there. But it's just interesting to me because, and I'm not just knocking on Beto. I mean, I'm not trying to take, I'm having a little fun with Beto. I hope he understands that. But it is interesting to me how silent he's been. And my goodness, if Beto has been silent, the two people running for governor, I think they've left the country because I haven't seen any of those two people either.
The interesting thing in doing this research was that Mark White, who is running for governor, was not in attendance at this event in Houston with Beto. It appears to have been a very low key event. Mm-hmm. And had this woman not trolled Senator Cruz at his event in Houston, you wouldn't know too much about what happened in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems to be very, very interesting what's going on here. what's going on with the, with this campaign. I really do believe, and we talked a little bit about it last week.
Sure.
I really do believe that they're having, that the Democrats are having a very difficult time in trying to figure out how to run with their progressive, to the left ideas in Texas, and be very visible about it. I mean, it, since it is Texas, they have to be very, very visible about their positions. And but because it is Texas, they're afraid of running too far to the left and, you know, getting run over.
Right.
Falling off
the
edge.
I think that's interesting because we talked about this when we were talking about the primary results a few weeks ago. You mentioned about, you know, the left-wing George Soros candidates. And I think that if I was Beto, if I had any chance whatsoever of beating Senator Cruz, I would have to move – I basically would have to move to the center, sort of stepping into the right a little bit and just kind of coming across as a more reasonable option than Senator Cruz. But how does he do that and get anybody to vote for him? I mean, you know, the good news and bad news for the Democrats is that they did double their vote. The bad news is that it basically came from a lot of Bernie Sanders and George Soros type voters. And those won Beto. I mean, my guess is that those guys won Beto bashing the NRA and bashing Trump and bashing, doing exactly the kind of thing that will bring Beto closer to 40% than 50% in the final vote. So that's my guess is that the Mark White may be thinking the same way. He's saying, do I run against Governor Abbott or do I run against Lupe? Or Lupe, you know, Lupe Valdez, I mean, the lady. So we'll see how it turns out, but it's just fascinating. Well, let's talk a little bit about Marco Rubio. I mentioned in the introduction that I wrote a post, and I was, you know, one of the things that really surprises me is how political, maybe I shouldn't be surprised, but how political these marches have become.
Oh, God.
And the attacks on Senator Rubio, and it's really, it's interesting, George, because if you look at Senator Bernie Sanders' record on guns, it's not that much different than Senator Rubio. I mean, Senator Sanders, because he's from Vermont, has had to take positions on guns that are not really mainstream Democrat these days. And yet he was allowed to speak at one of the marches. He was allowed to play a role. And the whole thing was an attack on Senator Rubio, which led me to suggest in my American Thinker post that I think it's political because I think Senator Rubio really threatens the Hispanic left. I mean, he could be the backbreaker for the Hispanic left. I mean, if he were to run for president, let's say, and get 35-40% of the Hispanic vote, how does the Democrat win anything other than California, George?
Yeah. It just, you know, I think what is happening, you know, and this is strictly my analysis, my long distance analysis of what is happening to Senator Rubio. I think that he is being looked at as a too nice of a guy. The left, particularly these kids, and I will call them kids, are taking for granted that he is a matured individual senator, and they're treating him like a whipping post. And I find it not only amusing, but I also find it offensive that they've taken to him so strongly. And I think that's, you know, first of all, we know that these marches and these protesters are inspired and led by the Democrats. You know, there's no trying to kid ourselves that somehow this is a nonpartisan issue or effort. No. These people have made it very, very blunt that they are anti-Republican and they are certainly looking to make hay of the issue against Republicans. The second thing is that Senator Rubio just comes across as a real nice guy, as a very even-tempered, even-handed person. And I think some of these people are you know, misinterpreting that as being a weak individual. And I think they're going to, you know, they're going to wake up and find themselves in a quandary before long, as they stick their necks out further and further.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that, you know, I thought it was almost an impossible position that he was put in at that CNN town hall. Because, I mean, here you have a 15-year-old young man talking to you. The young man happens to have been, a young man from that school. So, you know, you're trying to give this young man the benefit of the doubt, you know, the trauma that he went through and all of that. And so you have here a senator of the United States being asked a question like, you know, when I see you, I see an AR-15. I mean, how do you answer a question like that?
Exactly.
I mean,
it was emotionalism.
But I mean, it was idiotic emotionalism. There's emotionalism,
yeah, exactly.
And then there's idiotic emotionalism. So it's like, you know, it's the kind of thing where, you know, I can just imagine what the mental calculations that Rubio was making at the time. You're saying, okay, if I tell this kid the truth, I'm going to look like, you know, an old man beating up a little kid. But, you know, if I'm a nice guy, then, you know, maybe I'll look kind of weak. So it was an impossible situation that CNN put him and the young lady from the NRA. I mean, that crowd, if that was a town, that was more like a pep rally for the home team than a town hall. I mean, that was ridiculous the way that crowd was balanced. I mean, that was completely out of, you know, control. So, but I think at the end of the day, my sense, George, is that they're afraid of Senator Rubio's long-term prospects. You know, based on the information that we've learned of the Hillary Clinton campaign, it was Marco Rubio, George, that they were afraid of. They didn't want to run against Marco Rubio because they thought he was the, you know, the most complete candidate for them to run against.
You're right.
Of all the things, George.
I mean, if you put Marco Rubio against their darlings, their Hispanic darlings, which are the Castros and who else? What's his name? Gutierrez from Illinois. My gosh, I mean, Marco Rubio puts them to shame intellectually, mm-hmm. as well as in maturity. You know, his maturity is so much better than greater than these. He looks presidential. And I think that, you know, they really, really want to – they are so anxious to go after the Hispanic vote, so to speak. But what they think – what they're talking about is actually, you know, to defend illegal aliens is that they want to go after Marco and chop him down before he gets any kind of foothold. And they really, truly fear him. They really, truly fear him. So they're going to go after him big time.
I think so. I think so. I think that's what clearly comes across to me, because if this was about guns, then they would be an equal opportunity criticizer or critic
right.
of guns. They would criticize every other politician. I mean, I understand that it was in Florida and Senator Rubio is but there's two senators from Florida, not just Rubio. I don't know much about Senator Nelson, but he never struck me as a crazy liberal. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's pretty centrist on guns as well. Well, let me ask you a quick question. The leader of North Korea is in China. What's the possibility? What's the possibility that he could? That there could be a Korean restaurant, a new Korean restaurant in San Antonio, run by a little guy that kind of moves into the neighborhood, George.
That moves in quietly.
Kind of moves in quietly.
It's really, really.
There's a lot of people protecting him. You know, he has a lot of bodyguards.
Yeah, protecting him or trying to keep him under wraps. You know, I'm not sure.
Yes.
You know, which it is. The way that it was being described in the media this morning was that it was very, very hush hush, and it was that he was being shepherded. And many people in China didn't even want to admit that he was there or would not admit that he was there.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
I think,
right.
You know, the guy probably got a severe dressing down by the Chinese. It wouldn't surprise me if he got threatened and dressed down
right.
by the Chinese, emotionally spanked. And,
mm-hmm.
Possibly, you know, you're right. Maybe they're going to tell him, look, just shut up. We'll give you some money, go open a restaurant someplace and, you know, disappear. But somehow,
well,
I don't
he's got
think
plenty
this guy,
of money,
this,
I would think.
Yeah, this guy doesn't have the ego to be quiet. I just don't think he does. I think that they might have scared him a little bit, but I just don't see it.
Right.
That he's got the ego, that he's got the personality to quietly sit down and be quiet. I think the guy, you know, he's going to be like one of these loudmouth kids that's in a school that, you know, you tell him to sit down and be quiet and he doesn't know how to do it.
Yeah, well, I just think that, you know, there was a lot of fanfare about the trip. I mean, he went by train. They say that this is the same train his father took when he went to China, whenever it was. A lot of security along the way. I mean, a lot of security when he arrived. So one would think that it was him, although, again, we never saw him get off the train. It's not like they don't have that kind of freedom, but the security.
Yeah, right. Where was the press?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Where was the press? I mean, my goodness, they're not doing their job in China, the press. What a shock. but let me bring up another point here, George, because the time always flies. The head of Facebook, as you may know, is apparently going to speak before Congress, and he's probably going to get a grilling on privacy and everything else. I don't know if that's a smart thing for the head of Facebook to go before Congress, because I think the Democrats are obviously going to talk about 2016, but there's a lot of 2012 that he could get questions on. In fact, there's an article today in the Fox News website, an opinion article, and I think it's in other places as well. It could be in Real Pure Politics as well, but it's an article of somebody saying that the Obama campaign may have broken the law. Not the Obama campaign, but Mark Zuckerberg may have broken the law because he basically donated money that he didn't report.
That's right.
In 2012.
That's right. I think what you've got, you know, and I hate to use these terms with this poor guy, but I think
yeah.
that he is a young nerd, a very wealthy little nerd.
Right.
And being a young nerd, I don't think that he understands politics.
Right.
And him being in front of a committee on the Hill, he is going to get grilled. He is going to
mm-hmm.
get grilled. And, you know, things are going to be found out. You know, it would not surprise me. It would not surprise me at all if there were several violations of the law. I bet you there's going to be at least one or two of the law where he was playing favorite to the Obama campaign. I just know. I can feel it that he was
mm-hmm.
he was playing favorite. And, you know, that's going to come up, and how is he going to respond? You know, the fear that I've got is that he's going to react, and he's going to shut down a lot of good stuff that goes on with Facebook in the name of fairness. I mean, it seems like,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's how a lot of folks on the left react whenever the, you know, it's fair as long as they've got it controlled. When it's not fair anymore, you know, then it's, you know, that means that they don't control it anymore, and so they want to shut it down. So
right.
it will be interesting to see how he reacts. But I think, you know, I think the poor guy comes across as like a rich nerd, and I'm
mm-hmm.
you know, I just don't think that he's going to be able to handle the heat up on the Hill.
Well, the problem that I see, I mean, if I was his attorney, I would probably. Well, first of all, I hope he has an attorney with him, because he's going to be
sure
asked a lot of questions that
yeah.
that he probably shouldn't answer. But I just think that look, there's no doubt. I mean, we all remember reading about it after the 2012 campaign, how there were all kinds of articles about what a genius the Obama team, and in fact, they were geniuses. I mean, they did a great job. I mean, let's call it what it is. They did a great job in using social media for the election. So they did a great job. And now all of a sudden, that looks a little different, because the article that I read today basically said that if he kind of helped Barack Obama without calling it a contribution, he could be in real trouble. Because you have to report those things. And I sometimes, and this is maybe very unfair, but sometimes I get the feeling that a lot of these companies that where people became kind of very wealthy overnight, they kind of hit the jackpot overnight, that I never got the feeling they were run very professionally. You kind of got the feeling that they were companies that just made it real big and they thought there was always going to be gravy. And that's why I say that I really believe that I think you're going to see huge management changes in these companies, and they're going to become more traditional. Instead of a bunch of people, you know, running it the way they've run it, I think they're going to be a lot more concerned about legal issues and privacy issues. And it may never look the same as it did before, George. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Facebook begins to lose a lot of subscribers, particularly in the United States, and becomes more of an international company where the subscribers are in other countries, not necessarily the United States. The problem with that, nothing wrong with that, but the problem from an advertising standpoint is, you know, it takes away a lot of the big market, which is the people here in the United States, George.
That's right. That's right. You know, and I think what Facebook ultimately needs is a competitor. You know, and I mean, because there's really nothing out there that really compares and is a competitor to Facebook. If there was a competitor to Facebook, I bet you that starting now, and I'm pretty sure it won't be long before you do see one, you're going to see a lot of people moving to another system of communication, to another medium.
Right. Well, particularly if part of their competitive or part of their advertising or the reason for you to go to that other company is that they're going to tell you ahead of time that your information is not for sale, and that somehow or another your privacy is. See, I never really understood as a user of Facebook. I never really understood why they needed to give my information to a political campaign. I mean, you can know what kind of advertising I may be interested in by maybe my age and where I live and maybe a few things about me, but who I vote for, that I think maybe went a step too far. And that's where I think maybe the whoever replaces them or competes with them, they're going to have to find that a niche where they're going to have to say, look, we will protect your privacy, let me put it this way. If I was competing with Facebook, what I would do is that I would create this site very similar to Facebook, except that the advertising is not geared to George or to me, let's say. The advertising is geared to the number of people who use Facebook, the same way it is on the radio. I mean, when they advertise on the radio, they're not advertising to you. They're advertising to me personally. They're advertising, let's say, to how old we are or where we live and that kind of thing. So I don't know. Maybe I'm too idealistic, but I see some changes coming, George.
No, I agree. I think you're going to have to – you will have to see, some changes. I think that a lot of folks, our generation may have a difficult time in understanding the depth and the and how wide this issue is. Because it is, it is so big and all encumbering. But the decisions, or should I say the changes, need to be made in some form or fashion to protect our privacy a little bit more.
Right, right. No, I think you're right. Well, George, the rain is coming, so make sure if you go out this afternoon, you prepare for it, because if you got what we got, you'll need an umbrella.
Yeah, I've heard that it's going to be, it's going to be a thunderstorm and it's going to be tough and blah, 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 build an ark.
Well, yeah, maybe not this time, but certainly get an umbrella.
Yeah.
All right, George, thanks for your time as always. It's always a great honor to have you. It's always a lot of fun to have you. So we'll do it again.
Thank you very much. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Our good friend George Rodriguez down in San Antonio, always a lot of fun having him on the show. You know, before we go, I want to remind you that our good friend Carlos Guedes playing around town. You know, we hear his music on the show. He's playing around town. And we have a link to his website or the Facebook page and also his website. So click on that and find out where he's playing. He's a very talented musician. You're going to love the music that he plays. And the good thing about Carlos is wherever he plays, the food is just fantastic. So you can enjoy a nice meal with your wife or your girlfriend or maybe a business lunch or whatever and enjoy his music in the background. It's just absolutely fabulous. Well, thank you so much for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you the next time. Like I said, lots of rain here in Texas today, at least in North Texas, as we just found out. It's headed to South Texas. So I-35, probably going to be a complicated highway today with all the rain. Bye-bye, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.